Hey everybody, it's Lloyd Spence and I am excited about where we are headed as we're getting closer and closer to the NBA playoffs. And man, you can tell things are heating up. So now I got to get in position. I got to get you in position to get you over to betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your, wait for it, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So get on over there to betonline.ag, betonline.ag, your online sports book experts. Come on, man. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. Man, I'm so tired of this. This is Lloyd, your boy, Mr. Noise, and I can't find my sunglasses. You know what it is? It's probably because I don't like my sunglasses. And it's time to make my outdoor experience better with Canaan. Because Canaan sunglasses are made exclusively with polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger. And, man, I love the Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use the exclusive code KANANCAST15. That's KANONCAST15 at Canaan.com to receive my 15% off discount on my first pair. And you can do the same thing. Just go to Canaan.com and use the code KANONCAST15 at Canaan.com and get a 15% off on your first pair. That's KANANCAST15. Canaan. Man, it's clearly better. Tell them the Noisemaker sent you. Man, I wish I could get back to fishing on the weekends, back like I did back in the day when I was a wee lad. But I can't, man. The time is... Okay, let me just be honest. I can't find the right stuff. I don't know the right baits to go get for Texas. But I'm glad our new sponsor, Monster Bass, is the fun and affordable way to get the best new baits from the fishing industry's top brands delivered to my doorstep each month. Premium subscription fishing company that handpicks the best baits based on where I live and where you live and fish. No more guessing on which baits are going to work. Just leave it to the pros at Monster Bass. They know what to do. Basically, it's like having your own personal fishing guide. It's changing the way bass fishermen shop for baits. They're quickly becoming the number one fishing brand of anglers everywhere. They got the best baits from the best brands, and you're covered by the industry's best customer service. So, if you want to catch a bigger bass this season, head on over to monstersbass.com and use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. That's monstersbass.com. Use the code ACC10 to get $10 off your first box. Sign up for Monster's Bass now. Tell them your boy Lloyd Spence sent you.
Popcorn World.
You are now listening to Believe in the ACC with my husband, Mr. Talking Noise, Lloyd Spence, and our brother, Heisman Trophy and Florida State legend, Charlie Ward. And now, Lloyd and Charlie. Go get them, fellas.
I'm excited because after today, on Wednesday, we'll have a new intro. We won't have to keep saying the intro without saying special guest Kendrick Haskins. He'll be in the intro. So that makes me happy.
Man, Kendrick in.
Yeah. Intro as of Wednesday. We thought it would be ready today. It's not quite ready, but it'll be ready by Wednesday. So I'm excited to hear the new intro.
Move on up.
Although
Mayfield's playing in my head now.
I don't know if anything's going to sound as funky as Popcorn World. That's just
nothing.
A true
wild Popcorn World.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Every time I hear Popcorn World, I want to go get a dashiki and a pick on my back of my head. I ain't got nothing to put in there. I don't have nothing to contribute to the
pick. We can't hold a pick up.
I can't even hold a pick. I want to put on a dashiki and just get my fucking Y2C on.
Put on some big booty collar and sunglasses.
Keep that funny cigarette out your mouth.
You know, real talk, Charlie, I've never done that. I've never wanted to do it. My CBD experience was the first experience I've ever had with it, ever. So, you know, I was actually a perfect candidate to try it because I clearly would be able to tell you if it was any good or not because I've never had it. So, y'all can go quiet if you like. It's fine.
I plead the fifth.
I haven't.
Hilarious.
I have, but not.
You have not. So two out of three black men in America have not.
I haven't admitted to anything.
You haven't admitted to anything. That is very true. Oh my God. Hilarious. And that's why he's going in the intro, ladies and gentlemen. Right there, he's going in the intro. We got a great show for you tonight. The laughter is what makes the show. I'm telling you, we laugh every time. That is Kendrick Haskins you hear down there from the legend, the Fern Creek Hall of Famer. We got only two Hall of Famers on this show. That's Charlie Ward. Where's he at? Charlie Ward and Kendrick Haskins. See, I'm trying to adjust for the visuals on the Facebook and YouTube. I'm not Hall of Fame yet, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to work on
some You need stuff. To be in Western's Hall of Fame.
Bro, what's up? Like, what are y'all waiting on? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
gotta make that happen.
You know what I'm saying?
We need to make some calls.
Like, what are we doing, Weston? Come on, get y'all weight up. For real, though. For real. Jeez. Okay, well, I ain't going to stall y'all out right now, but I'm just saying.
In due season.
There you go, Charlie. In due season. I saw a story last week. We talked about it a little bit last week. That Justin Fields ran a 4.4. In the 40 at his pro day at his school. That's great. It's a great number. Like Charlie said, I don't know what it means. I mean, I guess it means you can escape the pocket if you need to, or, you know. So that's good. That's a nice quality to have. But if you can't throw the ball, it doesn't really mean much for a quarterback. What does mean a lot for a quarterback, however, is when people are badgering your name and floating rumors pre-draft about you all over the interweb and all over media and social media. And Justin Fields has become the new target of the draft. Every year, there seems to be here lately some player, and here recently it seems like it's a black quarterback that becomes
always the black quarterback.
Well, you know, becomes the target of the draft. And this year they've chosen Justin Fields. Now all of a sudden he doesn't study well. He doesn't process information quick enough. What was the other thing I heard about him? It was the third thing they said about him that was like, I couldn't even believe they said that, but it was study information. Oh, passion. How did I forget that? It's always the go-to. We question his passion for the game. So he has become the target. Trey Lance has become the target a little bit, but not as nearly as much as Justin Fields, because they don't have as much information on Trey Lance. Meanwhile,
I think they just now realized that Trey Lance is black.
Oh, well, then it's going to probably start over the next couple of weeks then. Let's start on that. Meanwhile, Mac Jones is walking these streets with a whole DUI that nobody's talking about. Nobody's even brought that up.
I was today years old when I found that.
Bro, I was today years old, too. I was like, what? How come anybody questioning his love of the game and passion? So, we just happen to have a Hall of Famer and a Heisman Trophy winner on our show. So, we decided, who better to ask about the process and about all of this than our guy, Charlie Ward. Charlie, why are the black quarterbacks being so scrutinized?
Well, you know, sometimes things just don't change. I mean, you know, it's just unfortunate that we have to, as you know, have to go through this scrutiny to be able to, you know, get to a point where, you know, we can just be trustworthy. And, you know, the thing that I don't know who the leaks came from, because apparently someone within shared with the people outside that these things were happening. I don't know who that is, or they're just making it up to, you know, taint his name. And I guarantee you, we've all been there where we maybe not have worked as hard at one point. Or we had some things that we needed to work through, but we were still productive. We had a will to make it happen. And the thing that kills me a lot of time is when, and it's not a white or black thing, but they always bring up the quarterback being the first one there and the last one to leave. And I mean, that sounds good, and that is great if that is the case. But if the man is producing, whether he first one there, the last one to leave, or the first one there and the first one to leave, if the man's producing and getting results, who cares how long he's been there?
I got news for you. I got news for you. I have a friend that was a scout for the Colts for 20 plus years, and he said Tony Dungy left every day at 5:00.
Like I said, and the thing that also burns me up is this. Why are they going and doing a second pro day?
I was wondering that too. That was so weird to me. I was like, why are they doing a second pro day?
Is Matt Jones doing a second pro day?
Nobody does a second pro day.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a popular thing, doing second pro days. Man. And I understand why Justin is doing it. I just don't like it.
No. I don't understand. Because if that was me, I'm like, hey, man, no. I'm not doing it. I understand what he's doing.
Yeah,
I understand it. Yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't do it either.
Behind it.
And shout out to Kirk Herbstreit for obliterating Dan Orlovsky for doing what he did. I love that so much because he deserved it. Shame on you, Dan Orlovsky, for trying to always give you the hot take. But that's his brand, though. That's his brand. So at least he's on brand. But and Kendrick has heard me rant on this before, but I'll go ahead and rant because we represent the media side of this. Well, we get stories all the time about everything, about this rumor, this situation, that he was in this girl's room, he was there, whatever. Man, I don't have time to be reporting all that, nor do I want to.
Right.
I've had to tell universities flat out in the past, I'm not going on the air with that. But why not? Because it's not news, man. Listen, man, I do a radio show about sports. I don't work for TMZ. I don't work for Wendy Williams. That ain't what I do. And I'm not interested in that.
I'm the same way. And that's how you build relationships with the people you cover. I mean, that's exactly how. That's why I'm friends with so many guys that I've covered in the past, because they can tell me stuff. They know I'm not going to go out there and repeat it. I'm not trying to bust anybody.
And I'm talking about, we have facts. Charlie. We know the facts. Like, it's not hot take stuff. I have the proof on 90% of stuff, that because that's what we are. We're journalists. So if I bring a story to the table, I got it. Right. I got the whole thing. I'm not, I don't care about that, man. And let me tell you something. I agree with Charlie. Is somebody gonna have a bad day? Yes. Is he gonna have a bad practice and miss a few throws from time to time? Of course. That, how do you measure that, take that, and say he has no passion for the game? The dude lost two games in college. Two. Right. How much more passion do you want him to have?
And beat Clemson to death.
While being hurt.
Right.
After
being got hurt in the game and
beat him to death. I do not understand why this has become a thing. Like, this is a trend now. Like, you can set a watch to it every year. It's almost like a game show. Guess who the next scrutinized black quarterback will be? Will it be Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or other?
Well, I asked what's the kid name from Alabama? Matt Jones?
Matt Jones,
yeah.
Did Matt Jones or Zach Wilson, did they have a second pro day?
I've never heard of anyone having a second pro day. That's the first I've ever heard of that.
They barely had a first one.
But I'm just saying, two guys that's having second pro days, what are they going to prove? I mean, you're throwing against air.
Right.
And, I mean, all the different throws and all that, man, just going to watch the tape. That was my thing when I was coming out. I'm saying, man, I understand, you know, going and showing and throwing and all that kind of carrying on. But I'm like, at some point, are y'all going to turn the tape on? You know, just watch that deal against some quality competition. And, you know, right. And sometimes it's not even about the percentages. Sometimes it's just about, you know, those, what do they call them? The things that you can't put on.
Intangibles.
Yeah, intangibles. Like, you know, some things you can't measure with a throw. Like aborting a guy and then making the throw, or throwing a ball away, or making good decisions with the football. You know, just being a leader. You know, the offensive line and everybody listening to you. At some point, that stuff has to matter, because that's what comes into play. Whether I run a 4.4 or 4.9 or a 5.0, it doesn't matter. If you turn on the tape and it shows that I have these characteristics that can help my team win, I'm going to do it.
Charlie Ward, close your ears for just a second. I'm going to talk to Kendrick. You just sit there and Kendrick, if Keely Smith and Charlie Ward were sitting next to each other in the draft, and this is no disrespect to Keely Smith, he had a great college career.
Great college quarterback.
But if you got Keely Smith and Charlie Ward in the same draft, who you taking?
I'm partial.
but here's the reason, even
before meeting Charlie and all that, it's Charlie. I mean, come on.
And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. Because the tape doesn't lie. What I saw Keely do was good. What I saw Charlie do was better. So if I want what's best for my team, I'm taking the guy that I look and saw was better. This is not rocket science. That's why I've never understood why this is so complicated for some of these guys. Man, do you not trust what you see?
I think it's not what they don't trust what they see. I think they're trying to find every reason to not trust it.
You know what I'm saying? Unpack that a little bit.
They know what they have. I mean, I can't stand the draft process. I can't stand how much ESPN covers it. I know why they do, but I get it. But it still is annoying. But they've seen enough. Like Justin Fields, you've seen enough film on him to know how good he is. So now it's like, okay, what's wrong with him? And they do it to us all the time. It's always a black quarterback. I go back to Lamar Jackson when he was going through the process. Teddy Bridgewater. He didn't have the great pro day and he dropped in the draft because they found something because they couldn't assassinate Teddy's character.
Right. They couldn't
assassinate his love for the game when he was out there basically almost in a wheelchair playing games. And then that shot he took in that Florida game in the Sugar Bowl in the first play of the game, and he came back and torched Florida.
Right.
And so you always see it. They always try to tear down and it's the black quarterback. It always is. Any year, especially a year like this year when there's this many quarterbacks available in the draft, they're going to go after the one. One of these things is not like the other. The kid from Northern Iowa, they just haven't seen him. And so it's the same thing year in and year out. And as someone in the media, I'm so tired of seeing it. And I can only imagine sick of Charlie is seeing it, and I'm sick of the guys like Lamar and Teddy and all these guys, even Colin Kaepernick when he was coming out of college from Nevada. Yeah. I mean, and it's always the same stuff. They don't read defenses, or they're not leaders in the locker room, or do they have the passion for it? It's the same thing. And it's like, do you not get old with making the same argument? I mean, you got to come up with something new at some point. And it's the same thing year in and year out.
I'm still reminded of that great draft prognosticator from Indianapolis. What's his name? I just forgot his name. I can see his face as clear as day. He became an ESPN analyst. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Said Lamar should play receiver.
Not only should he play receiver, there's no possible way that he'll succeed in the NFL. And he's doing himself a grave, I think the word he used was a grave disservice.
He's the GM of the year because he drafted Peyton Manning. Bill Polian. GM of the year because he drafted Peyton Manning. Wow, you went out on a limb for that one.
Right. It bothers me because this kid has done everything right. First of all, you want to question his leadership ability? Let's start with the fact that in the Big Ten, there wouldn't have been a season had it not been for Justin Fields organizing the young players to lobby for the season. The season, if you remember correctly, the season had been canceled.
That is true.
So what are we talking about right now? This is a leadership. He may be the best leader in the draft, if we're being honest.
The only time I questioned Justin Fields is when he picked Georgia in the first place, when he was coming out of high school. I was like, I know it's the hometown team, blah, 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 but I'm like, they already have an established quarterback there. I mean, I didn't understand that when he did that. Well, other than that, I don't question anything this kid does because I watched that whole QB1 show that he was on. That's how I first even heard of Justin Fields. And he's a good kid. I mean, and he's a great player. I didn't realize how big he was until he got to college.
He's a lot bigger than you think he is, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big kid. He's fast. I mean, say he ran the 4.440. And again, he feels like he has to constantly prove something, which is going to be great in the long run because that kid's going to have a boulder on his shoulder. It's not going to be a chip.
Yeah,
and so like I said, when going with Lamar, going back to Lamar, and when he wouldn't run the 40 at the combine, he's like, you know, I'm fast. Like, look at the film.
But they even did the same thing with Kyler Murray. He's just entirely too small, and he'll never. Man, the dude is a winner. He's been nothing but a winner. Listen, Kyler played right down the street from me, so I watched him torch the entire state of Texas for 4 years straight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for those guys who get the right coaching, as far as not going overboard and not showing things that people already know in a lot of ways. But I just go back to how many successful first round quarterbacks have there been?
Like, I'm so glad you asked me that question, Charlie.
Right.
And the ones that get drafted. You know, they either improve with the team or the team gets rid of them. I mean,
right.
At this point in time, it's not a big risk because there's not a big money factor behind it. And like, if he goes number 2 or 3 or 4 or whatever, So wherever he goes, he still has, he still will have to prove himself, just like Trey, Trevor Lawrence will have to prove himself. We don't know how he's going to turn out to be in the NFL. I mean, we're expecting him to be great, but it's still maybe 1 or 2 years, and they're going to give him enough time to be able to make mistakes because he is what they drafted him for. And, I mean, you look at my man Jameis Winston. He was in Tampa for about 4 or 5 years. I mean, he had like 4 different coaches, but they still gave him time to work through all of those things.
Right. And
then eventually, right before, you know, his contract was up or at the end, they let him go on and they found another guy, which was their prerogative, even though I didn't like it, but it was still their prerogative. But the young guys, man, they give him – they still got to give him time. So if all these things that they're talking about he doesn't have, I mean, he's going to have time to be able to prove himself, and it's not like a big, big risk. So I don't know why people go and try to smear people's name through the mud to make them look bad.
But, Charlie, you said a powerful thing, that why is it being presented like he doesn't have time? Because that's the way it's being presented. It's being presented like he's not coming into the league ready. None of these fools is coming into the league ready.
I mean, like I look at the Jets. Yeah, I look at the Jets. I'm like, why are they giving up on Sam Darnold so fast?
Yeah, because they haven't had consistency. You think about how many coaches they've had.
Right.
So it's hard to say – I like this guy when they've had all these different people coming in and out of the building.
Right. And Jameis went through the same thing. Different coordinator every year. I mean,
I'm so glad you mentioned
Baker Mayfield.
I'm so glad you mentioned that first round draft pick thing because I did some homework. So you guys can tell me tonight. We'll play a little game called Boom or Bust. do you think this guy, these guys, and these are all first round guys, so you can tell me if you thought they were booms or bust in it or in careers. And it's not a an exercise of disrespect. This is just saying to the narrative that's being put out over guys like Lamar and Kyler and Justin, it's not an exact science based on what you're projecting. It's not how it works. So here we go. 2009, the 3 first-rounders were Matthew Stafford, Mark Sanchez, and Josh Freeman. Now, wow. I would say Matthew Stafford is probably solid.
Oh, yeah, he's solid, yeah.
But the other two,
they're bust.
I mean, what are we talking about right now?
Sanchez is on get up right now.
Right. Hey, which is fine. I mean, we all have to transition. I'm glad he was able to transition, but
he did. And he's good at it, by the way.
Yeah, he just wasn't a very good quarterback long term. I'll just say that.
Right. 2010, it was Sam Bradford and Tim Tebow. Okay. 2011.
Man, Tebow didn't get a chance, though. They didn't give him a chance to really do much of anything. The time that he did play, he took him to the playoffs.
And
they got rid of him.
See, and that goes back to something else that we don't talk enough about. I'll take a quick pause on that. If you draft this guy and you know what he does, then to me, you're committing to what he does.
Right.
Tim Tebow is not a pocket passer. That's not what he does. He's a scrambling big dude that can run around slowly and get you yards because he's big.
And he's a leader.
And he's a fantastic leader of men. So if that's what you want, build around what he does. Why not build around what he does?
Tim Tebow came along a little bit too early. I think if Tim Tebow came around now with the offenses, the way they play an offense now, he'd be more successful.
Yeah.
He's just a little ahead. They were still stuck on pocket quarterback back then.
Yeah. Was he after
RG3?
He's before
RG3.
Oh, okay. Matter of fact, you're going to see that here in just a second because in 2011, now this one, Cam Newton, number one overall. That worked out. But then after that, you got Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, Christian Ponder, Andy Dalton, and Colin Kaepernick. And by the way, Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, not first rounders. They went 35 and 36, respectively.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, Colin Kaepernick got a raw deal. That's for sure. I mean,
he got a raw deal.
When you take a team to the Super Bowl and then they got the job,
right?
What kind of business is that?
Right.
It's amazing how racist people would make things harder on themselves just to
just to prove a point.
Because I never thought about it. So I heard, I was listening to a podcast about, you know, when there was separate bathrooms and stuff. You know how much more money they had to spend on plumbing and like just building two different bathrooms all the time.
By the way, in 2011, the only first round quarterback that worked out was Cam Newton.
Yeah.
The other three. No, he was second round.
He was second round.
The other three was Jake Locker, Blaine Gabbert, and Christian Ponder.
Christian had a quick stay.
Yeah.
Had a cup of coffee.
Have y'all seen that meme, that GIF, where the guy walks on the Simpsons dude? I think he's the Simpsons daddy. Walks into the bar, puts his coat down, and walks right back out. That was Christian Ponder. 2012. Now, 2012.
Sam's doing well.
Sam's doing great. 2012 was interesting because that's Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin and then Ryan Tannehill and Brandon Whedon in the first round. So three of those.
Brandon Whedon go in the first round?
I know. I don't know how that happened either.
Who made that? Was that Cleveland?
No, it couldn't have been Cleveland because this is Brandon Whedon would have been
Cleveland was early.
I would say Cleveland would have been picking way earlier than that.
I know he played for Cleveland at one point. It sounds like a Cleveland move. I mean, would it shock you if Brandon Whedon was drafted out of
Brooklyn? Right. Well, no, it wouldn't shock me. Now, here's what's interesting. The back half after the first round, you got Russell Wilson, Nick Foles, and Kirk Cousins. How about that for a draft? Well, is Andrew Luck a bust?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Yeah, he hurt and then he decided to retire, which to me was the right thing to do.
I'm asking because Indianapolis bet the farm on him, and for their troubles, they
got him to an AFC championship game. I mean,
he got him to an AFC championship game. The guy they got rid of, though, got the two Super Bowls.
He also had a broke neck.
They went in a different direction. They wanted to find their heir apparent, to Peyton.
Yep.
They thought he was going to be that guy, which he was. One year he had a horrible offensive line.
Yeah.
Where he got sacked a lot and couldn't stay healthy because he had too many hits.
Yeah.
And then he decided to retire, you know, unexpectedly. And I don't know how long he was there, but I think the time he was there, kind of like Barry Sanders, you know, Barry didn't really have an injury, but he was like, hey, man, it's time.
I got to take it to the house. This is crazy.
Barry's tired of losing.
Right. Barry was like, Barry's like, I'm going to take this to the house. This is madness. Y'all right.
Nobody wants to keep losing forever.
2013, only one quarterback win the first round. I'm going to give Charlie the opportunity, and Charlie, you better get this right. 2013.
I'm guessing that it was the man, Jameis Winston.
No. That would be
my bad. Jameis played 2014.
Yeah, and
after we won the championship in 2020. Right. My bad.
That would have been EJ Manning. You were close.
EJ.
Yeah, EJ Manning was the only one that went in the first round, and the only other quarterback that actually was drafted was Geno Smith in the second round.
So EJ was very similar to Christian. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, I would say productive years at Florida State. They had Jimbo Fisher as their quarterback coach, head coach. And so that kind of gave him credence because he has success, you know, with quarterbacks mm-hmm. running, you know, professional offense and all pro style offense.
Yeah.
But the thing that got those two guys drafted in the first round was the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
They both had great Senior Bowls during the week and then the game. And that's what got them, you know, their opportunities.
I'll say this about E.J. Manuel, because a lot of people will say he was a bust. But here's what I'll say about E.J. Manuel. He was playing for a bad organization at the time. The Buffalo Bills then are not the Buffalo Bills now. And that ownership group was bad.
That's a ton of quarterbacks you can say that about, too.
Yeah, and it is. And where you get drafted matters, man.
It definitely does. It matters so much.
Yeah, so... And same thing with Geno Smith.
That swinging door, baby. It's the same. Yeah. Same thing in and out of the room.
has Geno Smith ever played for the same coach?
He might now. I think he's been on the same team now.
He's on your team now, right?
No. He is. I think he's in Seattle.
Is he in Seattle? He is in Seattle. I think you're right. But as a starting quarterback, I don't think he ever had the same coach twice.
I mean, he played for the Jets. He may not have the same coach week to week.
Right, right. Exactly. 2014, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, first round.
Teddy Bridgewater went after those two clowns.
I was saying, it still blows my mind that Blake Bortles. And remember, I remember watching Blake Bortles play against Teddy Bridgewater. We were at that game together, as a matter of fact. And I was thinking, wow, this kid. I was watching Blake Bortles play, going, I don't understand why this kid is being considered a pro player. Like, there's nothing he's doing that's better than what Teddy's doing. Nothing. And I was so when they took him first, I was like, man, you to Charlie's point, that senior day is monstrous because they held
Teddy's pro day against him.
Yeah, and they held Teddy's pro. That's true.
We were throwing against air, which is you may miss some pros. I mean, you're not sometimes you may not have the best pro day.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff happens, but turn on the tape.
Right. I mean, this is happening. I mean, Lamar's pro day was just okay.
Yeah, it wasn't anything special.
And you see, he went at the end of the first round.
Hey, but it didn't need to be because the man had been a Heisman Trophy winner and a first runner-up. Just saying. Okay. 2015, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Both still in the league.
They both still in the league. So.
Both doing reasonably well.
Yeah, Marcus trying to create an opportunity for himself. I think he's a backup now.
He's a backup.
He's backup in Vegas, right?
Vegas, yeah. But I would also argue with both of them that they did not get really stable situations. Like Tampa just got to the place where it's starting to stabilize out.
I'd say Jameis didn't. Mariota kind of did.
In Tennessee, you think so?
I mean, they went to the playoffs with him as the starting quarterback.
Well, I think they did it twice, which is why I don't understand why they bailed on him so fast. Because
he had that bad year, and then Tannehill was there, and I think he may have gotten injured. That was the thing; he was injury prone.
Yeah,
he was running.
Tannehill lit it up when he got there.
And then Tannehill started to have some good success when he got an opportunity to play, and they made that jump. They made a decision that they weren't going to pay Mariota, because I think he was coming up at some point for a contract.
Yeah, it was the numbers game.
They just had to make a decision.
Yeah.
And they made a decision, and, you know, Marcus, I think he wanted to be a starting quarterback, but he was happy to be able to be, you know, where he was.
Yeah.
Vegas.
2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch was definitely a stretch.
Yeah, that has not worked out.
He's like 6'8" or something like that.
Oh, he's huge.
Yeah. He's a Memphis guy, right?
Memphis. Yeah, I think he went to Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's Coach Norville. One of Coach Norville's guys.
Is he the one that? No, that's Jimmy Garoppolo. I was gonna say it might be his stripper lovers keeping him from his greatness, but that's Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's Jimmy G.
Yeah, Jimmy G.
No, I don't know what you just said, but
it's stripper love.
Oh.
Jimmy G famously went out with a porn star on
a date. The porn star? Well, I thought she was a stripper. Well, she may have been both.
Is there a difference?
Well, you can say that about quite a few guys.
Right. Well, I think he was like
well, he did it like that.
You know, he was, you know.
Like
they went down the DL.
Yeah, they had a five-star restaurant. And let TMZ film him. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? I mean,
everybody needs love, Charlie. I'm not gonna hold you up.
But if that is her gig, her job, then she could be nice. I don't know.
She could be. I mean, you're exactly right. It's just, you know, it's a stigma and just
Charlie not profiling. I'm just saying his stripper love may have kept him from his greatness. I don't know. That's what I'm saying, Charlie. I'm not judging.
I think Jimmy G closing his eyes and just throwing the ball up in the Super Bowl.
That's had a lot to do with it as well. 2017, Mitchell Trubisky went first in out of the three quarterbacks that were there. Mitchell Trubisky went first, followed by Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
So Trubisky only played how many games?
Played one season at North Carolina.
and he went which pick?
You know what? I don't remember the number.
He was like the third or fourth pick.
It was high. Yeah, I was going to say it was really high. Because remember, Chicago traded up to get him.
Yeah.
Smart guys, those Chicago Bears. You got to give them all the credit in the world.
So this is the same guy that they're talking about. He's talking about drafting Mac Jones for the 49ers. It's the same person.
Not drafting Mac Jones.
Yeah. And by the way, they never let the GM of Chicago forget that he decided that Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson weren't good enough to go and draft.
How
should he be remembered?
Well, there's also the history of the Bears. It's never been a black. They're the only NFL team that's never had a black starting quarterback.
Never had I guess that's true.
Hey, wow. Vince Evans.
Huh?
Vince Evans
started for the Bears?
Yes.
You could argue that Jim McMahon was had black tendencies.
He was black adjacent.
Black adjacent. For sure. 2018, that's Baker Mayfield going number one. That's Sam Darnold number three. Josh Allen number seven. Josh Rosen number 10. And some dude named Lamar Jackson at 32.
I don't know the whole history of Josh, you know, him personally or what happened behind the scenes, but it never felt like he got a fair shake.
Josh Rosen?
Yeah. He got the one year in Arizona, then like he got like 10 minutes at the Dolphins, and now he's totally out of the league.
He didn't even get to unpack in Miami. Like
he is totally out of the league.
He was like, you can go. I don't know why you're here, brother. I
don't think he was ready though. I mean, did he come in early or was he a senior?
That I don't know. We can find out.
He's either senior, a junior, or a senior.
Let's find out.
He put up good numbers at UCLA.
Just didn't seem like he was ready. I mean, that was always my take on him. He kind of seemed like Jared Goff.
Came out early, junior year.
Yeah, it seems like Jared Goff, where, you know, you have some, I wouldn't say football-type issues, but they just didn't physically seem like they were ready for where they were trying to draft him.
Josh Rosen got the weirdest backlash on him, or, you know, comments on him was he was too smart. You used to say Josh Rosen was too smart. What? So he got the opposite of what the black quarterback did.
I don't know what that means either.
I just think sometimes, you know, when we have this going on in these, you may be the odd man out.
Yeah.
The new coach came in with the craziest part about it is the new coach came in and said, we're going to get rid of the quarterback we just drafted, you know, as a top player. I don't care. He's just not my guy. And so they got rid of him. And the guy he felt good about. But that's that whole windshield wiper mentality when you have people coming in and out of the door and you may be in favor. All right, I almost fell prey to that when my second year, what's his name? Don Nelson came and coached with the New York Knicks. Mm. And I wasn't his guy as far as the backup was concerned. And he brought in a guy that he liked. And I had to sit there and wait my time for a half a season before he got released from the job. And then Coach Van Gundy took over. But I didn't even get a chance.
Wow.
It wasn't like he said, you know, we're going to see how it goes in the preseason. No.
Yeah.
He had a guy that he wanted to bring in because Derek Hopper was a starter. And, you know, he couldn't remove Hart. But he brought in a guy, Gary Grant, that he liked and thought he was good for his system. And he didn't give me a chance. So wow. I can understand when you have new people coming in, you know, they have their own thought process on who should be there. And sometimes these guys don't get a chance. And he was one of them. I mean, he didn't get a chance to try to get on the field to showcase his talent. They were like, no, son, we got somebody that we want.
Right.
That's unfortunate because we can call him a bust, but we don't really know. Like, he never touched the field.
He legitimately never really got a chance.
Yeah, so, no, I agree with you, Charlie. I think it's a great, great point.
I'll say in a stable offense because, you know, he was in and he played that 1 year's rookie year. And then next year he was shipped out, and then he was trying to figure his way through the new system, new coaches in Miami, and that never panned out. And then they sent him all these different places.
Yeah, yeah. 2019 is the latest, or two latest, 20 and 19. Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock. Three of those are still doing something. And Dwayne is still in the lead, technically.
Who signed him? Somebody just signed him, right?
Oh, the Steelers signed him.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. By the way, on the last show, The Five, we were talking about should the Steelers go up and get a quarterback, you know, try to make a move. And, you know, after Mac Jones, when you look at the list of the guys remaining, there's a very strong possibility that no other quarterback will be taken in this draft.
Yeah.
From 6 to 15.
I feel like the Steelers should have gotten a quarterback like 2 years ago.
You're right. And see, that's why we were saying maybe they should go draft somebody, because I'll leave the list real quick, not to prolong the time, but just to read the list so you'll see. So after Mac Jones, who they have, if you go by the best available list, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones at 5. You got Kellen Mond at Texas A&M.
Before we get on, I like Kellen Mond, and I think he would be a good draft pick for whatever team.
Where would you draft him at, though, Charlie?
I mean, he would be like second or third round.
You said second, third. Okay.
I agree with Charlie. I really like that kid.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing a lot of favorable stuff about him, though. I don't hate him. I wouldn't go in the first round and get him, though.
No, he's not first round.
Yeah, I wouldn't go in the first. And I'm not 100% sure I'd go in the second round because it's all about, is this kid really going to be what I need him to be long term? And that I don't know. So, Kyle Trask, Florida. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of pro he's going to be. I think he was a good college quarterback. He kind of reminds me of Danny Werfel.
Right.
Not saying that they'll have a similar, you know, pro careers, but they kind of remind me of the same type of player.
That's dead on.
Since this is a Believe in the ACC show, the 10th of best available quarterback is Ian Book.
But man, okay.
Ty knows how I feel about Ian Book.
Hold on. Before we, I was laughing because, you know, I like Ian Book.
As an NFL quarterback?
Yes. I think he would be a good backup.
Child, you're a really nice guy.
No. He would be a good backup to the backup as well. Hold on now, before y'all start laughing.
So basically you're saying he'll be a great scout team quarterback.
I mean, he could be a backup, or he could be a backup to the backup.
Well, he's smart. You know he's smart, so yeah.
Yeah, he went to Notre Dame. Of course,
right,
he's smart.
Right.
Which, hey, man, if push comes to shove, that may be that's a good deal.
So what round, though, Charlie? Be honest about the round.
He's probably fifth round, though. I wouldn't.
Fifth? You take him in the fifth?
Yeah. How about free agent?
I was thinking, yeah. Mr.
Fifth to free agent. I mean, I can see that.
I was thinking Mr. Irrelevant. He's the last one to go. And I got all my needs met, and I'm good.
You're sleeping on Ian Book. He took him to the Final Four, man.
He did.
I'm just saying.
I'm not going to hold you up, Ian Book, but, bro, I'll bring you in the camp.
What's in that cup, Charlie? that sparkling grape juice is in that, that bottle, Charlie.
Y'all be questioning. 2020.
I'll tell you what's in there. It's some some lime water.
Lime water.
Yeah.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. just cut you some lime and put it in your water.
Put it in your water. Okay.
I'm just drinking water.
Yeah. Just regular old water. 2020, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. That's the most recent. Tua Tagovailoa, Jordan Love. Can we take a moment to deal with this Jordan Love situation? That is one of the most odd circumstances that are going on in the NFL right now with this Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation. First of all, it was odd that they went up to 26 or they drafted him at 26 to start with. But then it feels like the new guy is kind of trying to push Aaron out. Like he's saying,
I don't think the new guy is. I think management. I don't think the Packers have ever really liked Aaron Rodgers. Because if you think about it, they drafted Brian Brown.
They did.
They did. Like 2 years after Aaron Rodgers got the job. I mean, they've drafted I mean, I understand, you know, drafting quarterbacks is, you know, because you never know. But, I mean, they've never really done right by Aaron Rodgers.
They've never drafted him a receiver of high quality. No disrespect to the guys that have been there. There's been some awesome guys there. But they've never put him in a situation to where – They don't do for him what they Kansas City's done for Patrick Mahomes,
right? Because it's not, I mean, they're a market where you're not going to really get elite free agents. So you think they would draft?
It is way too cold to be trying to go to live in Wisconsin.
They've never done right by him.
Y'all didn't catch that subtle "I agree" by Charlie Ward just then, but I threw that out there about the cold. I saw what you did, Charlie. You didn't sneak that past me, sir.
So where do you think Aaron Rodgers lands? Like, I know New England kind of pushed Brady. You know, Brady wanted to leave. And
Right.
And it sounds like that's what's happening in, you know, Green Bay, where they're trying to push this separation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the point where my man even thinking about, you know, being the host of Jeopardy.
Right.
He is the host of Jeopardy right now.
By the way, they love him.
Yeah.
That might be the second gig. I don't know, but
MVP of the league this year.
That's crazy. That's crazy to think that he's literally might be out the league. Where could he go, man? Geez.
Anywhere he wants.
I'm just saying whoever gets him would probably, you know, have be like Tampa Bay. You know,
I take him to
the they're gonna go find a great defense, and bring him in with a few of the weapons, and then they'll go out and get some guys because the man still can play.
Yeah,
I can sit there and watch him. Maybe it's just like a warm weather.
Yeah,
so I think San Francisco is the perfect landing spot for him.
That would be
he's close to home. He's, oh, I mean, he's from that area.
Oh my God, do you realize?
I mean, it could be the move they're acting. You know, that could be the low key move they're making when they traded up to get the third pick.
Do you realize that if he went to – but okay, but wait a minute. Let me deal with what you just said first because you just blew my mind. You're saying that the Green Bay Packers would trade Aaron Rodgers to the San Francisco 49ers for the third pick in the draft?
I mean, it could be the move they're making. I'm sure it'd be, you know –
drafted Jordan Love last year.
But they probably
they could draft somebody. They don't have to draft a quarterback with the third pick. Right. That's but they could go out and get old boy from Florida. They get old boy from Florida, the tight end from Florida, at the third pick.
Well, you talk about a safety net, Jesus.
That guy's a monster.
Oh my God, I would be stunned if he was a bust. I would be absolutely stunned because he looks like the real thing. He looks like the second coming of Dwayne Metcalf.
I worry about his injury, so he is injury prone. He missed a lot of time this year.
They said the same thing about Dwayne Metcalf coming in. Oh man, he gets hurt a lot. Well, he fixed that by looking like the Hulk.
DK, you say Dwayne?
I don't know if it's Dwayne. I just said Dwayne. It's really DK Metcalf, but I just call him Dwayne. So
he didn't gave the man a name.
It's his name, the dude.
Well, that's what we do in the hood. We name folk. That's Pookie. That's Ray Ray. That's me.
Yeah, but Dwayne is never a nickname.
I got no reason to know why he get called Dwayne. I got nothing. Zero.
I was sitting there racking my brains like, is this something?
Like, what's Dwayne? Hey, fellas, I was racking my brain like, is this Dwayne? I don't think it's Dwayne. But nobody was correcting me, so I'm like, well, maybe it is Dwayne. Maybe I got it.
If I was letting it slide, then it just dying on me.
Please don't let me slide. Please don't let me slide. I do have a shout-out as we get ready to close. I do have a shout-out. Shout-out to Eddie George, who is the new head coach at TSU. That makes me so happy.
That is Tennessee State University, just so you'll get it right for those that may not know.
Yes. And I hear that he's trying to bring on Jeff Fisher and Hugh Jackson onto the staff, which I think would be great because I don't think Eddie George has literally any, other than maybe coaching his own children, I don't think he has any head coaching experience whatsoever.
No.
I don't think Jeff Fisher would be the one to bring.
He knows defense.
I would think it feels like he'd be better served bringing an older college guy. Bringing a bunch of NFL guys is different. Charlie, you know, it's two totally different games.
Well, what's the name? The Arizona State.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on because they may have some college background. You know, they've been coaching a long time, and they may have some college background at some point. I don't know about Hugh Jackson, but. I don't know about Fisher either, but it's just where are you, because Deion has done the same thing. He's brought on guys that he played with, some coaches that coached, you know, in the NFL and all those types of things. You know, the whole name of the game, one is recruiting, and two is trying to get guys bought into, we can help you in all these different areas. And now they just had the HBCU combine, I think it was, or something they just had. And, you know, they were able to, you know, get those guys looked. And so, you know, it's It is what's going to start the trend. I mean, it's going to be trending here where more guys that are attached to certain areas, and they may not have coaching experience, but, I mean, he's been playing football long enough, and, you know, he's been doing business and television and all those types of things. So he's been around the game still, and it's just a matter now of just putting the right people around. That's the biggest misnomer. When it comes to, you know, being a head coach, if you have organizational skills and you know how to bring people together, it's about who you have around you. And if you can be manager of people and players, you'll do a really good job, because the biggest key is selling it to the boosters, the alumni, and the recruits that you have coming in, that we have these people that can help you, you know, get to the next level. And that's what Deion has done. You know, I mean, he's selling the school.
Yeah.
He's helping the SWAC, you know, in a lot of ways to get endorsement deals and, you know.
That Pepsi deal is huge.
Yeah, get people coming to the table. And, you know, and when you have those guys being an advocate, they know what it's like, and they know how to get people into the door. A lot of times we poo-poo on, you know, the guys getting in, but they have more than just football coaching. They bring in people to the table, you know, different types of people that may not have otherwise been there. So a lot of times it's about just using their gifts, their talents to be able to help the whole.
So real quick, it looks like Jeff Fisher is going to come, and he's already accepted the responsibility in an advisory role, not necessarily a coaching role per se, but an advisory role, which is good. I mean, I think that's good. Hugh Jackson has not accepted the role yet, as of yet, I don't believe. But Hugh does have a very extensive college resume, Pacific, Cal State Fullerton, Arizona State, California, USC for a really long time before he finally went into the pros. So Hugh knows, but now that was in the 90s, so the game has kind of changed quite a bit since then. But the game meaning the recruiting game, not the actual game. But it'll be interesting to see. At least he's been around the environment. So he kind of knows what to expect. So that'll be.
And he's in a good spot in Tennessee State down in Nashville, because you can get some good quality players in that area without having to travel too far to recruit.
Absolutely, absolutely. If he just minds Tennessee, Missouri, Kentucky, Illinois, he could build a pretty solid team just right there.
I mean, he's on the border of Georgia as well.
And Georgia, right. I forget, that's right. Technically, yeah, I forget about that. See, that's, we got to know geography. That's key to.
Not too far from Memphis. I mean, yeah, he can get some quality players in.
Yeah. That's my shout out. Y'all got any shout outs before we go?
Who else? I was going to. I forgot. Louisville beat my Seminoles this year. I mean, this weekend in baseball.
Yeah, they piled it on in the sixth inning yesterday.
Yeah. I turned the game on, right? And it was like the fifth inning. We had a pitcher. Louisville had a pitcher in that we looked like we may have been able to hit. He was walking folks to lefty. It was 4-2. Mm-hmm. I changed the channel. I come back. It's like the seventh inning or something. It's 11-4. I'm like, what happened? Two hitters.
The sixth and seventh. I was watching the game because I had a report on it last night.
Yeah.
Sixth and seventh inning, they opened it up.
I've been hearing all season long about Louisville's offense and how they have the potential to explode at any time. Would you concur with that, Kendrick?
Oh, yeah, they've got the bats. The thing that's killing them right now is the midweek games. They're playing fine on the weekends. But the midweek games, I mean, they've lost to Western Kentucky. They got beat by Kentucky last week. They've lost a lot of these midweek games. But when it comes to the weekend, they're fine on the weekends.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
Well, then you know you don't throw your best arms during the week.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're putting as much emphasis into them. Well,
you don't win the College World Series in April, so I wouldn't. You know, as long as you can keep taking series on the weekend, you're probably gonna be okay.
And they're games. I mean, they're fun. The stadium. Have you been to that stadium?
I have.
You gone?
Hold on. I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm watching the game, right? Louisville and Florida State baseball. Mm-hmm. Why don't they have like something to cover up the back where you can't see the cars when the pitcher's pitching? I'm just asking. Most colleges with the type of resources that Louisville has, can we get y'all to just, you know, put something to
Charlie? Have you seen the extra seats that were put in the Papa John Stadium or what used to be Papa John Stadium?
No, I haven't seen it.
I'm just saying, there's no extra money.
That stadium, they put it, the money they put into that stadium, I'm telling you.
That
baseball stadium, honestly. It's considered one of the best stadiums.
Yeah. They put some money on that stadium now. It's not a cheap stadium.
But can't we just enclose it?
No.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
I'll tell you what, because our media parking, when we do go out there, are we right in the line of fire for foul balls?
No question about it. You feel a little uncomfortable. That's why I normally park in the parking garage. I'm like, I'll just take the walk.
And then now they don't even have that garage anymore. There's an out left field that you can park out there.
What? The garage is gone?
Yeah, there's no garage out there.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, I have one last thing.
All right, buddy.
I had an opportunity to go to watch my Seminoles spring game.
Okay.
This weekend.
And you ready to make a prediction?
I'm not ready to make a prediction.
Oh, okay.
I will say just on the surface, I was not able to go onto the field with all my other alumni brothers because the NCAA has a rule that we're in a dead period for high school coaches. Okay.
He's with the technicality.
So I wasn't able to go on the field, hang out with the guys, and do all those types of things.
Okay, wait a minute, Charlie.
However, if my son was playing, on the team, I would have been able to go and do all those things because I have a son on the team.
But you don't even coach football. You coach basketball.
I'm hearing it now. I'm hearing it all now. So let me make sure I understand this correctly. And our listening audience understand this correctly. One of the greatest living alumni can't get on the field because you're a high school basketball coach. But if your son gets on the field, you're allowed to be there.
Allowed to be there. That supersedes me being a high school coach.
God bless you, NCAA, and your wonderful rules. You guys are.
I just want to throw that out there. But the game was
yes.
Both teams. They played offense and defense. Both sides had their moments, which is kind of what you want. You don't want to be one-sided.
Right.
But man, I am so excited about. We have some great young receivers. I don't know how they're going to do once the season starts. They should be much better by that time, you know, by the season start. But they're really pretty dynamic.
Wow.
What's his name? Malik. He's number 11. Joshua Burrell. Oh, it's Malik McClain. All these guys came in mid-year. They're still supposed to be in high school.
Oh, wow.
They came in mid-year, and man, I mean, they're going to be special guys. I mean, they're pretty good. They made some plays because I thought it was somebody else. And I asked the coach, I was like, hey, man, who is that guy? And they were saying, man, it's the young guys that I heard about. And so I was excited to see that. And then my man, Brian Robertson, he was a freshman last year, didn't play much because he was injured, but he's another receiver. that was pretty good as well. Young guy. Receiving corps should be much better. They have guys who are willing to work, and they don't, you know, they're young. They're hungry.
Yeah.
But the thing that I was most excited about was the quarterbacks, because those guys, and we have two of them. We have a third guy who struggled a little bit. He's still young. He was a true freshman last year, still trying to figure it out. But the other two, they were on point.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
The man, Jay Trav, has gotten much better.
He's good.
I like him a lot.
I like him too. And then my man, Mackenzie Milton. He may be a little small cat, but he knows how to place that football where it's supposed to be. And he's very smart. And
is he the transfer?
He's a transfer from UCF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did Purdy leave?
Say that again?
Purdy, did he leave?
No. His name? He's out. They rehabbed him this spring because he had a broken clavicle during the year. Tried to come back, and then he tried to practice this spring, and they shut him down just to rehab him.
Okay.
So he wasn't there. But those top two guys, I feel good about both of them. And then defensively, we were able to, you know, generate a pass rush. They didn't give up too many big plays, and when they did, they were able to, you know, put their necks in the red zone. So those are always good things.
Nice. All right. I can hear the excitement in your voice, Charlie.
I'm very excited. I don't know how many games we're gonna win, but at least we have a chance.
There you go. Well, listen, as a special Kendrick, I didn't hear you give yours. Did you give your shout out? Do you have any shout outs?
I'll shout out Sacred Heart girls basketball here.
Yeah.
Won the state title with a very young team. Their best two players are a sophomore and a junior. Congratulations to them. I was just looking up the score, Charlie, from last year's Louisville, Florida State game. It was 48-16. So I'm assuming that won't be the score down in Tallahassee this year.
I hope not. last year we were just trying to hang on.
Yeah.
Out there and just hang on. But this year, we look like we know what we were doing.
That's good.
It's definitely a different group. And he cleaned house. Trust me, he cleaned house this year.
Wow. Well, listen, as a special treat to my guys, because these are my guys and I love them to death and I love this show, I thought I would end the night with what I consider one of the best dunks of the year. So you're going to be listening to it by podcast, but we're going to watch it if you're on Facebook and YouTube, which is why you need to come over to Facebook and YouTube on Mondays and Wednesday nights and watch us record this live. So this is Miles Bridges. The caption it says it ends Capella's life. He didn't really end it. But he's making the next week or two in his life very difficult. Until Wednesday, have a great time. We'll see you back on Believe in the ACC.
Daniels, one-on-one mode. Has a smaller man on him. Rozier. Cody Zeller, offensive rebound. Bridges! Oh, my God! Oh, what? A thunderbolt!
This is what we want to see. Look at Miles Bridges attack the shot blocker. And look at LaMelo. Oh, my word.
You have been listening to Believe in the ACC with Charlie Ward and Lloyd Spence. You can tune in every Tuesday and Thursday on the Believe Podcast Network, Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere podcasts can be heard. You can also watch Charlie and Lloyd on Facebook on the Noisemakers page and on YouTube on the Noise Media YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, and follow on all our platforms. And we will keep taking you inside the ACC.